I was one of these kids that used to blow up things in the bathroom or the basement and take things apart. I learned how to repair my own black and white television when color came in. I was too much of a problem. I used to build little radio kits, Heath kits, Radio Shack, things like that, do all these projects. So I was very much interested in science and technology and was going to pursue a career in electrical engineering in college. And when I got to college and started studying engineering, I discovered this is just not for me. I don't have a talent for this, but I migrated over to the radio station to turn the dials like an engineer would. And at that time, they wanted to expand their news station, their news division, and said, anybody want to learn how to become a reporter? And I looked around the room, and I raised my hand, and I said, I'll do that. I'm not afraid of a microphone. I had done a lot of theater in high school, so it was like performing.
A lot of journalists are intimidated with science reporting. There's a special language that goes on with it, and there's a level of expertise that you almost have to have that background in science to accurately report on. Do you feel like you're sort of filling a gap in the public radio world and in the media world, period?
I think that people have to learn if they specialize in anything. If you specialize in business or finance, you have to learn the jargon, the language, the nuances there. If you specialize in science or medicine, you have to basically either specialize it in college as a science major or as a scientist, which I was not, or learn it along the way. When I started out in this business in the 70s, there was no genetic engineering. I got into this, you know, not having to worry about covering anything. There was no such thing. But it is now the main part of biology, and so everything I've learned I've had to teach myself by reading up on it, or better yet, because I'm lucky to be doing what I'm doing, I can ask the smartest people in the world to explain it to me. I don't have to know the minutiae that much because they will tell me or tell our audience what they need to know in, hopefully, language they can understand.
Those folks have information that you want to get out of them and share with your listening audience. Have you learned over the years sort of how to effectively communicate with them and their very specific type of language to get answers from them that your audience can understand?
There are some scientists and some experts who are natural speakers. You press a button. They learned years ago that if they wanted to get across to the public, they had to learn how to speak English. There are some that are not. And you learn over the years who are the good speakers and who are not the good speakers. And there are times when there is a topic we want to cover, and we try to go to the original sources, that the scientist is just not a good speaker. So we'll back off and go to someone else who we know knows the topic and can speak for that person.
One of the topics that you'll be addressing today, wildfires, and that's not the first time that you've addressed that. Climate change, something else that comes up on your show on a regular basis. How do you stay interested and find new ways to talk about some of these topics to keep your audience interested?
Well, it's so ubiquitous now. I mean, climate change and global warming is so ubiquitous that something new always pops up. It could be the sea level rising on the East Coast and a state trying to outlaw using statistics for sea level rise that don't go backwards. Or it can be fires here out in the West, California, Idaho, Washington, which show that the climate is changing. We're going to be talking about, for example, how nature speaks back to us, how kestrels are migrating earlier. Almost a month earlier, because the season is now starting a month earlier. So if you look around us, you can find new examples all the time. Maybe trees are actually getting up and moving. I was talking to somebody, a scientist in New England, saying the Vermont maple syrup is going to be harvested in Montreal soon because the weather is not cold enough for some of these trees to actually produce the sap they need or to survive. They need the cold weather. So it's not hard to find new instances of global warming or other topics like that.
My understanding is that your show on campus this afternoon is only one of four that you do on the road. Are you outside of your comfort zone a little bit when you do a show like this?
No, I love live radio to begin with, and I love going out on the road, and I love speaking to our audiences. We get many, many requests to go on the road, and we sift through them, and we decide to go to places because these are places people don't get to hear from. Boise is not the center of the world, but it's an important place, and they have important things going on here, and there's important research, and we believe that we should give some light and air to research in places people don't normally hear about.